been 15 years since Zimbabwe seized large tracts of land from white farmers. That land was to be given to disaffected war veterans in the country. Under that policy, more than 4,000 white-owned farms were taken, and many of them failed after they changed hands. This sent Zimbabwe, which was once known as the breadbasket of Africa, into an economic tailspin. Now, the government is suggesting that some farmers may get their land back through a 99-year lease. It is asking provincial leaders to provide a list of farms designated, quote, of strategic importance. Journalist Peter Thornycroft joins us from the studios of the BBC in Johannesburg. Thanks for being with us.
Hello. Good morning.
Who got this land 15 years ago?
15 years ago, individual groups of people who said they had fought in the liberation war against white minority rule began invading white-owned farms. And by the end of about 4 years, they had taken about 90% of them. There was a small number who survived all of those years and are still on their land. In 2005, the government changed the constitution and nationalized all of white-owned commercial farmland, and most of it is occupied now by small-scale farmers. About 180,000 to 200,000 families got that land, and then there's about 18,000 to 20,000 wealthier guys who got bigger portions of land and are supposed to be the new commercial farmers in Zimbabwe.
What's happened over the 15 years?
To begin with, agriculture was the main anchor of the economy. Tens of thousands of hectares of land that was normally irrigated is no longer irrigated. Many of the valuable crops like fruit, trees, avocado pear trees have been lost. The country just began to collapse. Tobacco produced 40% of Zimbabwe's foreign currency earnings. And tobacco is a difficult crop in that it's very capital intensive. And it's a particular skill. It uses a great amount of heat to be cured. Zimbabwe's economy collapsed because it had forward sold its tobacco for many years, as it was such a reliable production from Zimbabwe. As the foreign currency disappeared, so the black market of the Zimbabwe dollar increased. By 2008, you could go into a pub and order a beer, and if you stayed there too long, the price would change in the afternoon.
I wonder if you've been able to talk to any of the former landowners, and where are they? Would they even consider coming back?
No. I think the days of white farmers going back is over. I don't imagine any white farmer who's been through the last 15 years would particularly want to go back. The land has changed. Their old world is gone. And for those who remain actually working on their farms, it's quite a lonely life now.
The economic effect of this offer sounds like it would be limited.
There are about 300 who remain on their farms, despite harassment, threats, eviction orders, etc. In one province alone, what the government did was offer six of them the right to remain on their lands with 99-year leases. They decided in this province that they were needed for particular reasons. One of them produces 10,000 day-old chicks a week and is seen as vital. Another one is a dairy farmer. And probably more dairy farmers have survived by sector than any other sector.
Can Zimbabwe feed itself today?
Not this year, not last year, and hardly ever since 2000. It hasn't even grown half what it needs to feed the population, and it will have to import the staple food, which is maize. And the price of the corn is, of course, much higher than it would be if it was grown in Zimbabwe. And USAID has put out warnings. And I'm watching the prices of food go up, and I'm also watching the availability of the food declining.
Peter Thornycroft speaking to us from the studios of the BBC in Johannesburg. Thanks for being with us.
And thank you, too.